as the Lord may be pleased to help, we would direct you prayerfully to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and reading verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What a foundation, friends. There is no change with him. Change and decay in all around I see, but thou who changest not, abide with me. We're all hastening on, as we are all aware of, I trust, not always exercised about it as we would be, hastening on to a never-ending eternity. And oh, how vital it is that the Lord grant you and me that grace that shall quicken your soul and exercise your soul with that desire that you might know this Jesus. Paul had to say, as we are well acquainted with, but in the letter, we want to know it in experience, that I may know him. It is feeling to know a little of this great mystery of godliness, to be favoured, to realise a sense of your sinnership. We have been singing to be kept very, not very low, but very, very low. And if the Lord makes you and me sensible of our sins, we shall have nothing, will we, to lift up ourselves with pride, but on the contrary, we shall be humbled in the dust as we see that day hastening on when we're brought to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What a mercy then that here is one that will remember his people. He remembers them with the favour he bears unto his people. He visits them. He visits those families that honour him and serve him. They may not feel to have much life in their souls. They may seem to tread a darksome path and a lonely path. They may be brought into great afflictions, sorrows and difficulties. And yet as those trials are so sanctified to them, they will be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord grants them that living faith. And if he's the author of your faith, then he will maintain it and be the finisher of it. Your faith then must not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And all we do need in our dark day for the Lord to increase our faith. But be assured of this, if the Lord increases and strengthens your faith, he'll increase the trial of it, or permit the devil to try it. But it is still the same. What the Lord has spoken to you of many years ago, it is the same. It remains the same. You cannot feel the life and the power of that word that rested upon your spirit. But you have still that sweet persuasion, I trust in your soul, to believe that what the Lord has spoken to you of, he's able to fulfill. Because he doesn't change, because he is the same towards his people morning, noon and night, the same towards his people from the day of their birth, which is appointed of God, and the parents to whom they were born to, as to the day of their death. And he'll be with them through all their changing scenes of life, and afterwards he will receive them into glory. And what a mercy then that this blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever lives. Now we read in the 20th verse that the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, make you complete, in other words. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. For you are complete in him, and all it is feeling the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ formed in your hearts as the hope of glory that will be an exercise to your soul and mine. the desire and the delight to do his will, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the Lord will perfect that which concerneth you and me. You know, the Lord's ways are much better than my ways or your ways. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. No change. Well, what a changing world we live in. What developments there have been in this century alone. And yet, can we say they are for the better? Alas, alas. For the most part, they seem to be the means of drawing men away from his faithful, sacred word and from acknowledging him. But the child of God will ever be desiring that grace to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear his voice as he bids poor sinners, come unto me. Or have you not been favoured even the past week to have some prayer heard and answered? Maybe you've been praying for weeks over a matter, and the Lord in his sovereign mercy has granted you an answer of peace, even in this week. Well, some here, I am persuaded, or I know of, can return thanks unto the Lord for delivering and helping mercies in these things that have been, as it were, a mountain before them. The Lord's been better to them than all their fears. And can we not, most of us, say that? Lord, what a mercy if the Lord has so given you grace to acknowledge it. This same Jesus, his watchful, loving care over you, round about you as a wall of fire, and he, the God, the glory in the midst. Would to God we could give him more glory that he is worthy of. We find ourselves so carnal and so earthbound and an enmity to God in our carnal minds. But nevertheless, Jesus Christ is faithful. He is faithful to what he has spoken to you of, and he will bring that to pass in due season. You see, the bud will have a bitter taste. You know, religion won't be all joy and happiness and peace, will it, in your soul and mine? There'll be those early days when there'll be this budding work of grace in the sinner's heart, and it'll be tried. And sometimes you'll be crushed, as it were, as we sing of, crushed before the moth. Such is the weakness of your faith. You feel sometimes, one more thing and it will absolutely destroy me if it is permitted to come to pass. And sometimes the Lord will bring that thing to pass that you so feared. Thing that I feared, has come upon me, says Job. Nor have we not experienced some of these things in our lives. The thing that we have feared has come upon us. But the Lord has not let you sink beneath those everlasting arms, has he? He has supplied your need. You've had, as it were, as men may speak, their backs to the wall. But the Lord has been their strength and their help. When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Lord, that we might be favoured to feel more persuaded of this, persuaded that the Lord is our God and our Saviour, that he is our Redeemer. And as he has been raised from the dead, he is that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Or they said, away with him, crucify him, and will not have this man to reign over them. But still that loving, pitying eye upon the sheep of Christ by the Lord Jesus Christ, for having loved his own that were in the world. He loved them from all eternity. And he will love them into eternity. And he'll save them, not for their sakes, but for his mercy's sake. And he will bless them with an abundant entrance at last into that everlasting kingdom. Jesus Christ then the same, yesterday and today and forever. And oh, does he not say to those in the wilderness today, if you will hear his voice, hearken not, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. For where sins, I am persuaded, must provoke God's anger many a time, many a time. But that love will never change. He may see fit to chasten you, as there's a needs be to be chastened, that we might mourn sore like the dove. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So this chastening hand, in your defying and denying God, will bring you ultimately to repentance and confession of your sins before the Lord. And we prove, don't we, this, Jesus Christ the Son, without change. And so here's the sure foundation stone for you and me. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. He hadn't any true foundation. He knew not the scriptures. We have some of those that we get concerned about that have a form of godliness that deny the power in their family circle, and it's grievous to us. Can you change them? Can I? Never, never will, dear friends. But if they are the Lord's, they'll be shown the sure foundation. There'll be a digging deep. There'll be an examination to see whether we be in the faith of God's elect. Or do we have this living faith? This faith which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things that are not seen. Jesus Christ, then, the same yesterday, and today and forever. And what will it profit you and me if we should gain the whole world and lose our soul? Well, you never will lose your soul, dear friends, to the fires of hell if Jesus has chosen you before the foundation of the world. You'll live to show forth his praise. You know, you won't be able to contain yourself when the Lord so blesses you with his grace and upholds you with his spirit and draws near to you and comforts you and supports you. Oh, what a mercy then. He knows your frame and mine. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth we are but dust. Oh, then, what a great favour this is, to have that gift of faith, to prove and to boldly say in the liberty of the Spirit, as we read here, the Lord is my helper. You see, he doesn't change. What he is determined to perform for you, he'll bring it to pass, not in your time or my time, but in his own time and way. Now, they are minute circumstances. When we consider those that doubt the truth of God's word, they have no sure foundation stone, have they? But what does the word of the Lord say? All scripture, not just some of it to suit you and me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now the Lord will correct you and me with his chastening. He causeth it to come for correction. Some affliction, some trying news that reaches your ears, some distressing situation perhaps in your broad family circle, some news that arrives of a character or person you know. Know how it sinks your fathoms, doesn't it? Because you know what it can mean, what it could have meant. So these things, if there's no foundation, if the foundation be removed, what shall the ungodly and sinner do? What would you and I do, dear friends, if there were not a sure foundation stone? And he's laid a sure foundation stone in Zion. Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. And there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you and I must be saved. What a terrible thing, a dreadful thing, to live a life of a form of worship and to have no knowledge of pardon, no promise given, no assurance of heaven, or to perish in the wilderness. And the Lord solemnly searches us in his word, doesn't he? When those who come unto him and say they've cast out devils in his name, done this and that in his name, and he says to them, depart from me. And my words that I say as I mention it may not have any effect upon you or upon me personally. You see, it's depart from me, I never knew thee. Now how vital to be digging deep, to have this, to set our, to build our house upon a rock, a sure foundation. You know, the building will collapse when the wind and the waves blow upon that house built upon the sand, it'll collapse, there's no foundation stone. And so there's a digging deep. There's an examining of yourselves in the light of Scripture. Lord, do I really possess these things? Do I really have a desire to know thee as the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou sent? It was God's love to those in the Gentile world that he sent his dear Son, as well as those Jews that he had revealed himself to. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, gave his life as a ransom, gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. See the vital necessity of living faith. It's trusting in one whom you see not. It's casting your cares upon him at the throne of divine grace. It is praying unto him for his presence and his help. And it'll often, as we remark with our friend at the desk walking along the street this morning, it is those groanings, dear friends, uttered with the aid of the Spirit. These are the prayers heard and answered oftentimes. We might have our formal prayers as we, in our private meditations, we lay before the Lord, and rightly so, those near and dear to us in the ties of nature, while there's life, there's hope, isn't there? And those trying scenes that arise and come and fall upon our ears, it enforces us, I believe, at times to the throne of grace, being burdened. We cast the burden, the care of this situation that involves us or ours or our circumstances upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He is the same. Oh, bless God, if you have this faith to believe that he's the same, there's no change with him, there's no aging with him, and he will never fail nor forsake his dear people. Because he has so loved them with an everlasting love. Now how vitally you and I search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Set apart that time daily to read the Scriptures in your private devotions and to consider and to pray unto the Lord that he might fulfill the words of Scripture concerning you and me, and those especial words at times that are laid upon your heart. Mr. Philpott spoke this morning about desires, righteous desires. You've got desires, I know. Each one of you will have desires for something before you that you see with a natural eye that you might possess with your hands. But oh, what a mercy, dear friends, if you have those righteous desires to plead the blessing of the Lord, the Spirit to enlighten you, and to reveal Jesus Christ to you. You know, without a knowledge of Christ, we shall perish in our sins. And oh, some of us feel to possess such a little, if any, at times. But we do trust there is a little that we can plead before the Lord and seek help of Him and ask our way that we might not be left to strain to bypass meadow or bring shame or reproach upon the name of Christ. It's to know Him, to be weaned from the world that lieth in wickedness, and to look to Him, and to ask Thy blessing, to ask His blessing to rest upon your soul, that the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. Speak, Lord, give me a token for good. Tell me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Now we all naturally strive for things in the earth. We want a better life. We want things to be more straightforward and easy in our lives. We are striving to get gain. And oh, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Do it, friends, as unto the Lord. If you remember that, it's doing it not unto man, you'll do it unto the Lord, and if you think you're doing it unto the Lord, you'll give diligence in it. Because the Lord, He is the God, the just judge of the whole earth. And all you know, it is our mercy that He is the just judge. And He will judge rightly. He will see to it that His dear people that honour Him will never be failed. They prove this, that the even in their lowest state at times and in their darksome paths when things seem to be going against them, that the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail till the rains come. What a mercy this is, the God, the word of the Lord, and it endureth forever. Whatever word might be laid upon your heart, is that word that as applied to your soul, it endureth forever. Jesus Christ in it. The very sum and substance of your hope and mine is to be built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And what a name it is, oh, that we could feel more love and warmth and affection to this name. Set our affections upon things above where Christ dwelleth. Now He dwells with him who is of a humble and a contrite spirit and trembleth at His word. And His grace is sufficient. Oh, the love of Christ to poor unworthy sinners, the hatred of Christ to those who are the seed of Esau. Now we're not the judge, are we? It's the judge of the whole earth. Shall he not do right? No, we are exhorted to judge righteous judgment. And by their fruits ye shall know them. But oh, what a mercy to have righteous desires. One says those feeble desires, those wishes so weak. 'Tis Jesus inspires and bids us still seek. He never changes. And what he has implanted in your soul with desires. Oh, go on praying for the fulfilling of those desires. For he will fulfill the desire of the righteous. You say, I can't say and lay claim to it that I am righteous. And yet, can you not say that you desire the imputed righteousness of Christ when you see what the end of the wicked shall be? Your desire, the imputed righteousness of Christ. You have righteous desires then. You want your sins pardoned. You have righteous desires. You want to be prepared for heaven. You have righteous desires. You want to be washed in the blood of Christ. You have righteous desires. What a mercy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added unto you. You know, he's a faithful God. He has been to some of us over many years, a faithful God. Better to us than all our fears, and certainly than all our just deserts. What a good God he is. And what a blessed Saviour, his dear Son, co-equal with him, co-eternal. Great is that mystery. And yet he tells us he came to do the will of his Father. Mysterious ways, aren't they, that God moves in showing to poor sinners that he sent his dear Son into the world, the mediator of the new covenant. He stands in between in those garments washed and dyed in his own shed blood. And we through mercy look to him to impute to us that robe of his righteousness. We have that righteous covering that covers all your sins, that blots them out as a thick cloud, that prepares you and me for those prepared mansions in the sky. Now it'll take many years, won't it? Often takes many years for the soul to be weaned from the world and to be brought to that place where he will say, it is well to depart from this life. You know, but we've got to be weaned from that, weaned from this lie. We are very much of the earth, earthy, and we dwell upon earthly things. And the Lord has a purpose of our staying in this land, in this world. There's an all-wise purpose of God in the length of days. And then, you see, in that length of days, he will make you and me, I believe, pillars in Zion. He will make us to be living witnesses of the wonders of his redeeming love. This then is Jesus Christ as being the sum and substance of your hope, your religion centered in Christ. Your religion centered in Christ. And your brotherly love centered in Christ. And also to remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which have suffered adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You see, this bearing one another's burdens, this is to fulfill the law of Christ, the teaching of Christ. He bids you and me to live peaceably one with another. And this is our desire, isn't it? Love is the golden chain that binds. Nor we want to feel more of this love centered in Christ, who is the same, vital to have that love. We bless God, don't we, for love and affection shown between one another. And oh, how much greater is this love of Christ. Rich and free, fixed on his own eternally, has he shed abroad that love in your heart? Has he through mercy been exalted in your soul? For him hath God exalted to be a prince and a saviour, to give repentance to Israel and remission for sins. This great and this mighty matter concerning your soul and mine, to know him and to feel union and communion with him and to be blessed with that godly conversation. Being able to speak here or there, here a little and there a little. We're not daily speaking, are we, of these holy things? We possess so little that we can speak of that is of a spiritual nature. You know, there are those things that you will acknowledge, God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God the Father in Christ. And oh, how we would give thanks for his great goodness. And for our every need supplied. Know how we would give thanks if Christ is revealed to you as one that has loved you with an everlasting love. Your delight to do his will then. You'll not be ashamed to own him as your Lord and Saviour, and you'll seek grace to walk worthy of him. But often, as I've said, it is but desires. Desires that you might know him, that you might have a closer walk with him, that your heart might be established with grace. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. We even heard of a strange doctrine the other day. Very solemn, isn't it? To think that men try and interpret the scriptures and ponder what things must be like after death. You see, it's in while the fancy strives to paint the moments after death. It's in vain, isn't it? It's the fanciful idea of man that would imagine what heaven is like, imagine what it's like after death in hell even. We know this according to God's word, it will be very solemn. If we are banished to hell at last, it'll be just punishment eternally for our sins. Oh, when we see, dear friends, what it cost the Lord of life and glory to open up a new and a living way for the escape of that wrath of God, then we shall bless the Lord Jesus Christ that he never changes, that he is the same, that his love is eternally the same. For the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, we're told, unto those that fear his name. From everlasting to everlasting. And oh, what a favour to be amongst this remnant, called by his free and sovereign grace. They shall know the joyful sound. You'll bless God when he takes a word and seals it upon your soul, when that love is shed abroad in your heart and it's in love. He may correct you in love, and it may be painful correction, may be a painful chastening. And oh, how it tries you so, you well nigh despair. You could come weeping within and without. Your heart is broken. God sees it. He knows your sorrow. Touch with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean. There'll be sore temptations. We've had some sore temptations, friends, in our life, I believe. But his love never changes. He knows what sore temptations mean. Why? He has felt the same. Gone to greater lengths and depths of sorrow and trouble than you and I will ever be called to pass. In that he has suffered, being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. He has strengthened you in the temptation. You may be full of tears within and without, apart broken. You feel so oppressed, so cast down, in such a low state. And yet the child of God, redeemed with the blood of Christ, will have faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can never change. And you'll have a humble hope that you'll never be left out of the covenant. And once he loved them to the end. Oh, blessed be his holy name. If you have a desire in your soul to know this blessed Jesus who never changes, who is the same yesterday, the same, dear friends, mercy in your birth, in the parents you were born to that feared God. Oh, bless God for it. Bless God for it. But oh, you want more than that, don't you? You want to know him. You want to feel him as your blessed Saviour. You want to love him as you would. Now we shall love him if he's first loved us, and that set time to favour you will come. And he'll bless you with grace to humbly follow him, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Your present help today, a present help in your trouble. God is our refuge and our strength. You know, we read these words, we know that 46th Psalm by experience. But oh, how often we're brought into some strait and We know not what to do. Why, our wisdom flies out of the window, doesn't it? We lack it. We haven't anything. We know not what to do when these trying scenes arise and arrive upon our doorstep or in our hearts. Lose sight of what God has promised. Lose sight of the fear nots. Lose sight of Him being a present help in our time of trouble. And you've had some troubles, I'm sure, a lot of you here. And you will yet have trouble not to be all doom and gloom from the pulpits. But you know there is an end, isn't there? In the end it shall be well with the righteous. And the Lord knoweth their frame. He remembereth we are but dust. And He's able to provide for you what you are in need of. Able to do far more exceeding abundantly for us above all that we can ask or think. No, the Lord hath made everything here below. We admire, don't we, the scenery of this, of the earth, the seasons, the times, the wonders of nature, the ebbing and flowing, as we witnessed yesterday, some of us, of the seas, God's mighty works, God's mighty hand. But oh, there's a far mightier work, isn't there? The work of grace in our souls that desires to know Him and desires to feel that love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. Now, Jesus Christ was made under the law. He had a body like unto yours and mine, sin excepted. He was born of a woman, that blessed virgin birth, mysterious and yet most wonderful. Conception by God the Holy Ghost, the third person in the Trinity, born of a woman. My soul, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. He hath remembered the low estate of His handmaiden. Now He remembers your low estate, friends. Remembers your low estate. Because He hath been mindful of you from all eternity, and He'll ever remain the same. And oh, sometimes we can prove this, Him to be a very present help. My presence, the eye of the Lord upon us, here this morning, in our midst. Oh, to have faith to believe it, and oh, to feel that contact and union with Christ. And to truly be blessed abundantly with that wisdom and guidance from above. Lord, don't leave me one moment to myself. Lead me forth by the right way, that I might humbly follow in the footsteps of Thyself, the footsteps of the flock of God, and walk worthily of the vocation wherewith I have been called. That's the thing, isn't it? That blessed evidence that we have been called. Not only called, but chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. There are many called to religion today, many called to worship, so-called in their forms and in their habits and in their traditions. Oh, we want more than just calling, don't we, to God's house. We want to know that we are called by His grace. That grace is working in your soul and mine to bring you to His cause and to see Jesus. Those Greeks of old said, sirs, we would see Jesus. We would humbly follow Him. We would walk in His ways. We would talk of Him and the wonders of His redeeming love and would plead with Him to grant us that pardoning revelation of Himself when He speaks to your heart and shows you His hands and feet inside and says, all this was done for you. If that's done for you and done for me, dear friends, it's forever. So we would look back. Look back to Calvary. Look to that sacred and that solemn scene. Behold a scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Now there may be rebellion arise in your heart and mind for the trying scenes and circumstances you're called to pass through. But you know in the end it shall speak. This vision is for an appointed time. Oh, the Lord fulfills that vision in an appointed time. We experienced it in our exercises before going into the ministry. The visions that we had of three pulpits, as I've told you before, that we were to preach in. How could it ever be? How can these things be? Says unbelief. And you may feel that in your own soul concerning the steps you are ordered to take. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Though the vision tarry, the fulfilling of it, wait for it. Wait for it. Read here, the husbandman hath long patience waiting for the fruit. I feel to need that myself, long patience. But oh, we need grace of patience, don't we? The Lord alone can give you grace. Because remember this, whatever the Lord has promised, it will be fulfilled in his time. Because the Lord's time is the set time to favour Zion. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now how we need to be established in our heart with grace. That grace alone that is sufficient. That grace that is made abundantly clear to the Lord's dear people in their pathway. Proving that without him they can do nothing. Now, it's a hard lesson that we have to learn, isn't it, in religion? That all we possess of reality is the work of the Holy Spirit from first to last. And so we need the Lord to give us that grace of repentance, that we might have evidences of the new birth, the quickening influence of the Spirit, who to once, those that were once dead in trespasses and sins. There's a great rejoicing, we read in heaven, a joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth rather than 99 that have no need of repentance. You see, the Lord knows those of his. He gives them true repentance and godly sorrow for sin. He makes his name precious. He causes them to have and feel deep wounds of sin. Their past offences, their sins of their youth, their sins in those early years of life, and they're made to feel it. Nor how we need more of this blessed work to feel our sinnership, and then we should value the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We need refuge, we need protection. We need protection, don't we, to protect us from the wrath of God. Oh, you know, there's going to be a solemn day when God judges, comes, Jesus comes to judge the world in righteousness. The wrath in those vials in heaven that the angels are going to pour upon the inhabitants that repent not and believe not in the Lord Jesus. We would bless God then if there's a desire in your soul to flee from the wrath to come and to seek help that is laid upon him that is mighty to save. Now his name is Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Simple truth, but also profound and so real. And so we need the Lord to communicate these truths into our very heart by his Spirit and to show us that we have through mercy received a vision, an application of a promise, and look for the fulfillment of it in his time and way. Now Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. And so what the Lord has ordained of old will never be erased. And this will be your desire and mine. In thy fair book of life and grace, O may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. He'll humble you. He'll humble you that you might yet be exalted in due time, and he'll enforce you and me to cast all your care upon him. Why is that? Because he careth for you. And that's the greatest privilege that we can ever have, and know that he careth for you. And you'll feel that union and communion with him as you cast all your care upon him. As you commit your way unto him, as you trust also in him, and he brings it to pass. And as we've said before, he brings these its to pass, and they are big things to you, aren't they? He will bring it to pass. It's not an if and a maybe. He will bring it to pass, because Jesus Christ remains the same yesterday and today and forever. And he will establish a sinner's heart with grace, the mercy, the favour, and the love of God to those dear people that he has bought with a price. He'll never fail them or forsake them. And he'll make them perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Oh, may the Lord then in his sovereign mercy fix his name in our very souls, indelibly inscribe it there. And may we feel more and more of that love to him as we journey on, because he first loved us. We must leave it now, though, friends. The Lord add his blessing and forgive all amiss. Amen. Yeah.